this is Rachel McElroy.
Hi, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is Wonderful.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, hi.
What do you think of that new flavor of the sparkling?
So we're working with a cherry limeade Waterloo sparkling
water.
Yeah,
what do you think?
I enjoy it quite a bit.
Okay, good. I am always in a quest for a flavor that I actually like.
Yeah. Well, it's gross, isn't it?
Yeah, it turns out I always like a sparkling water for the first half of the can.
Yeah.
And then the second half, I'm like, I'm not enjoying this at all.
Well, by the second half, you can no longer sort of suspend the disbelief that you're drinking a real cherry lime. I say that. This is good stuff.
Yeah, I think so.
I think this is just fine.
Yeah.
And what a boring sort of conversation.
Oh, did you have a good bit ready?
Yeah, yeah. I was going to do one where it was like, I was going to do like, I'm a mummy. And I would try to like scare you. And I would do like a toilet paper all around me. And then you would be like, what are you doing? You're such a goofball.
Uh-huh.
And then people would listen to that and be like, they're so in love.
That's the formula. That's the magic formula we have.
And we are in love. We don't need to put on sort of Dharma and Greg style goof 'em ups to sort of make people believe. Like, we're so deeply in love and we work so hard for each other. And
I just got an idea for our...
Oh, thank God. We're going nowhere with that.
I just got an idea for our bonus episode.
Oh, yeah?
Maybe we watch an episode of Dharma and Greg together.
Oh, that's fucking great, babe. That's so good. Yes, the Max Fun Drive is coming up. We've been wrestling with what to talk about. And as it turns out, I think we're going to watch... One episode doesn't seem like enough work for bonus content. I think maybe the whole first season.
Okay.
No.
I just visualized a full season's worth.
I had to pot you down a little bit. You've been laughing really hard about Dharma and Greg. I had to turn you down so you don't blow out the vox. But oh man, no, I'm not telling you not to laugh loud. I fixed it, man. this is Wonderful. It's a show. We talk about things we like, things that are good, things that we're into, and I'm into Rachel. Real
Whoa.
Deep. I'm feeling you. I'm
Whoa.
Feeling you. I'm vibing. Are you feeling this?
I guess.
Okay. All right.
I was just caught off guard.
We've been parenting so hard.
Yes.
These last couple weeks.
Yes.
And you're so good at it. And it makes me like so happy that I'm the one. You're the one I'm doing this with.
Aww,
you know what
babe.
I mean?
That makes me feel really good.
Well, good.
I will tell you, I feel like...
There's things I could do better. I know.
No, I feel like unconsciously you and I have like picked a team.
Yeah.
And that's always kind of challenging for me. And I feel it sometimes when like you are not around and I realize I am used to being on Team Gus and I'm used to you being on Team Henry.
Yeah, we kind of divide and conquer a little bit.
You'll be like, I'm going to take a shower. And then I'm just like sitting with Henry and I'm kind of like, so what you been up to?
It comes with the territory of having two kids.
Yeah.
Is that when one is a baby, they require about 500 times more work than the one that's not a baby.
Yeah, and Big Son is like a person now.
Big Son's a real guy.
He's got interests and a personality, and I feel like I really do have to be like, so what do you like these days?
He likes a trampoline. He likes a Wee Bear Bears.
Yeah, that's very recent. That's
he likes like chocolate Zeebo. Well, Chaboy did win him a Wee Bear Bears stuffy at the crane game this past weekend. Don't want to brag because I won't, because I did try to win all three of the bears and did only successfully retrieve Grizz from the device. But yeah. Hey, do you have any small wonders?
I do, actually. Good. I wanted to talk about this last week, but I forgot. There is a Twitter account called PayGap App.
Oh,
have you
wow.
heard of this?
No, is it like anonymous reporting of your salary? And it
so
shows...
here's what the bio says. So it's PayGap App APP. And the Twitter bio says, employers, if you tweet about International Women's Day, I'll retweet your gender pay gap.
Whoa.
And so I've been following it. It just started this month, March, or no, sorry, last year. It's 2022, turns out.
Yeah.
It started March 2021.
Okay.
But yeah, so anytime an entity like gives their little, hey, in honor of International Women's Thing.
Yeah, here's an extra commercial with the green M&M in it.
Yeah, it'll say in this organization, women's medium hourly pay is 31% lower than men's.
How do they get that data? How do they get that data?
I don't know. That's the thing. I imagine a lot of people have like gotten at this account
sure.
and said like, hey, figure this out. I don't know how they do. I will say, you know, it's usually not the big dogs. And this is also a UK account.
Okay.
So, you know, maybe you're not going to see like your beloved Applebee's on here.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know. I really enjoy it, especially when the like tweets are like super like pompous, like, look out for how much we love women. And then the things like,
you love women about 31% less than, yeah.
It's delicious.
Speaking of delicious, I'm going to mispronounce this, but sambal oelek, is that the chili paste? Yeah. I was going to do a whole segment about it, and then I realized, like, I don't actually know a whole lot about, I mean, it is a wild mixture of spices. That is used in like a lot of different types of cuisines. We purchased it. It's vaguely in the sriracha family, but I've been doing a lot of sort of more like East Asian cooking, and I enjoy this stuff so much. I feel like it adds just the right level of spice to the things I cook. Because I always wrestle with that when I'm cooking something that's like add this spicy ingredient. And I always either like way undershoot it or way overshoot it, ruining the dish either way. I feel like sambal oelek adds like just the right amount of stuff. And it smells amazing. It's like chili paste, garlic, like fish sauce. There's like a ton of stuff in it. And it's all good, baby.
It's a very complex flavor.
Yeah. You go first this week, I believe.
I do.
What do you got?
I am going to say your city's best park.
Your city's best park.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm talking about like the central parks. In St. Louis, it's Forest Park.
Right.
For you, it was Ritter Park, right?
Oh, yeah. Except no substitutes.
And I'm talking today about Austin Zilker Park.
Zilker Park, a phenomenal park.
Mm-hmm. I actually like had no real sense of how it stacked up to other parks. So Zilker Park is 350 acres. Central Park is 843 acres. And then Forest Park, where I'm from, St. Louis, is 1,300 acres.
Wow.
It's a big one.
I had no idea Central Park was that big.
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense. You look at Manhattan on a map, and it's like...
It seems really big when you're in it. Like, the way that they have the paths all snaked through, like, you feel transported.
Yeah.
When I think back to my early days in Austin, like, Zilker Park is such a big part of that. Like, not just because of... Barton Springs
being the natural spring-fed swimming pool.
It's always like 68 degrees, and it's lovely. It's got like a natural rock floor, and it's very nice. Also, Austin City Limits Music Festival, like that was like every fall for me was there.
Mm-hmm.
When we were first in our courtship, we went to Blues on the Green.
We did. Who did we? Oh my God. We saw Los Lonely Boys. and just got like wine drunk and just boogied to How Far Is Heaven. Yeah, that was a great night.
And then we used to bring a croquet set.
Yeah, you could play big croquet down in Zilker Park.
And just like set it up out there.
Yeah, we would set the wickets like 100 yards away from each other and then just like blast shit into the parking lot. Yeah.
We brought Henry out there and we have pictures of Henry and our friends' kids playing out on the park.
Yeah, it's a great park. There's like one tree and it's like a huge ass tree. And then the rest of it is just like wide open, lush green pastures.
So that area is called Peace Grove. It's also known as Rock Island. And the tree is like 100 inches in circumference and 70 feet tall. It's a pecan tree.
Oh, beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I was really curious because I didn't really know the story of Zilker Park.
Yeah.
You know?
Used to have a train. doesn't anymore. I don't think it does now.
They brought the train came back. People freaked out so much about the absence of that train. They brought in a new company to like
revitalize. It's like a little train for kids.
Yeah. We've never been on it.
We haven't, no. Scared of trains. Little ones. Big ones don't scare me. Little ones do.
Little ones.
Yeah.
What are you worried that's going to happen?
I'll break it and it'll go off the tracks and it'll fall on me and I'll die. And people, my obituary will be like, this dummy got squished by the little train. Can you believe it?
Okay, so Zilker Park, named after Andrew Jackson Zilker, who made his millions, or probably not millions, probably made a million.
It was like $100, but with inflation, it's about $300 trillion.
Selling ice.
Great.
Back in the day when you needed somebody to sell you ice.
Sure.
So he moved to Texas when he was 18, and he went from foreman to opening his own plant, in ice manufacturing.
Ice plant?
Ice plant.
Okay.
Part of it was purchasing property surrounding Barton Springs, used to kind of raise the horse and mules and then also, you know, make the ice.
Yeah. You gotta make it to ice.
He also, built a pool and amphitheater at the site for the members of his local Elks Club. I have no idea if any of those like relics still stand today, but yeah. Like clearly he recognized like this is a space where people want to party.
Yeah.
So in 1917, he donated this land to the city of Austin with the stipulation that an endowment be produced to create shop and home ec classes in local schools.
But just for Elks.
So Zilker Park, a lot of stuff on this property. You know, there's Barton Springs, which we talked about.
Right.
There's the Zilker Botanical Garden.
Beautiful.
There's the Austin Nature and Science Center.
Cool.
Which I do not think we've been to.
Never been to it. Henry went once and he won't take us. We're like waiting for him to say, come with me to the Nature and Science Center.
The Umlauf Sculpture Garden. Have you been there?
Yes.
Okay, I have. But I don't remember if we were there together.
Why would we have not been there together?
Well, because I don't remember going recently.
Maybe I haven't gone.
I remember I went really early on in living here.
I may be thinking of a different sculpture park.
That's possible.
Yeah.
It's pretty small.
Yeah.
And this is also the home. So part of the thing when I moved here is I felt like, you know, I had come from the Midwest where everything's pretty old. And I moved to Austin and I felt like everything was brand new. And it kind of bothered me a little bit that there wasn't like real like history in this town. At least that's what it felt like when I moved here. But Zilker Park is kind of part of that in a way that I didn't really realize. Like the kite festival has been around since 1936.
Holy shit.
That's an old kite festival.
That is a very old kite festival.
Yeah. The Zilker Holiday Tree has been around since 1967. The Hillside Theater, where we have seen many a production.
Two, maybe. Oklahoma. Little Shop of Horrors. Yes. Name another one.
That's two. Been around since 1959.
Wow.
And that's a big deal. Like,
yeah.
For a city that feels like the skyline changes 100% every, mm-hmm. like, 5 years.
Yeah.
Like, it's cool to have this place in the city that is still hosting some of
this. You just sound like you're about to spin off on your own little, like, Randy Newman adventure. The skyline keeps changing.
You do the worst Randy Newman.
I do the worst Randy Newman impression. Every time I look up, the skyline is changing. That's just not what he sounds like.
No, not at all.
I'm sorry, everybody.
So the train that you were mentioning earlier, so in 1961 was when the little mini train was built.
Cute.
It was the Zilker Zephyr. And then went out of commission in 2019. Now it is the Zilker Eagle. As of 2022, it is back.
I don't like that name as much.
Oh, really?
The Zilker Zephyr?
That's Zilker great. Zephyr. You can't really replicate that, though.
No. The Zilker Zipper.
The Zanies.
The Zing Zilker Zipper.
And then, as I mentioned, the Austin City Limits Music Festival, which has been here since 2002.
Yeah. Great music festival. Probably my favorite, like, accessible music festival and that you go to it and then you, I guess that only works if you live in the city, but you go to it and then you get to go home.
Yeah, I will say, like, Lollapalooza is enormous. And I remember when I used to go, when I lived in Chicago, walking from one side to the other side was legitimately tiring. But ACL is pretty easy. Like, you can stand at one end and pretty much see the other end.
Is that Grant Park? Where? What park?
Grant Park.
Grant Park.
But yeah, and then they have like all like local foods in the little food court area,
really nice.
Which is fun. They like work really hard to try and keep everything kind of regional.
A lot of what our friend Evan would call CZs or chill zones, which I appreciate in my
twilight
years.
A tremendous number of people bring folding chairs, and so much so that they have created folding chair zones that you put your chair and you can't get any closer.
Or FCZs, if you will.
I love Slugger Park.
I do too.
Turns out I
don't love how there's one road that goes all the way around it, and there are red lights on either end of that loop, and so like if you are there during rush hour, you're going to be stuck on this one road with no way to get off of it. We were on it with Henry for close to an hour, I think, just trying to leave Zilker Park. And it was pretty terrible.
Yeah. They have had city council meetings about just that, of what the future of Zilker Park looks like, because they're limited by how much parking they can do. Like, they are pretty much, they've maxed parking. And so now the age old, what does transportation look like?
Yeah.
Question is coming up.
If there was a way... And this is probably impossible, but for people to... I know what I just said about small trains, but what if there was like a somewhat smaller train that you could go on to get to different places in the city instead of having to drive a car?
How many people could ride this? Like two or three?
No, I mean, it would have to be more than that in order for it to make sense for it to not be a car. Okay. I was thinking like maybe like 10 or 20.
10 or 20.
People. Yeah. And they could take this somewhat smaller train... instead of having to do a car. And what's good about that, not as much parking, and good for environment if we make the train not, you know, chuff a bunch of diesel or whatever.
Well, I think that's just the plan. I think we just have to wait 15 years, right?
15, 20 years for this technology? Yeah, sure. What am I saying? You can't have a train that runs through the city because people would just drive into them and not know how to... Like, a train in the city? Yeah. Dangerous
it's
much?
It's never been done.
Right?
It's never been done.
And this is a skit that I've been working on to present at the Austin City Council meetings about our lack of a light rail system. And
it's coming.
Yeah, sure.
We paid a bunch of money for it in the taxes.
Yeah, there's a fat lot of good our taxes do us, right?
Hey.
Just goes,
hey, this is wonderful.
Not mine.
Not Andy Rooney.
That's Wario. Andy Rooney and Wario are the same. Can I steal you away?
Yes.
Gonna knock out the Gumbotrons by myself here today, because we're recording them later. Here's a message for Maybe, and it's from Raya, who says, "My beautiful, silly Maybe, every day you remind me that life is wonderful. I can't wait to spend more time doing great goofers, playing Star Wars TTRPGs, and listening to Basket yell. Let's kiss now. Also, pee pee poo poo, I win the game forever and always for all time now. Love your very amazing girlfriend, Raya." And I know you all at home are wondering, did they just make Griffin say pee pee poo poo? Is that something that I can do if I manage to get a Jumbotron? And the answer is apparently yes. So pee pee poo poo, everyone. Here's another one for Carly from Sean, who says, "I'm so glad you joined my wonderful theme Minecraft server. I never would have imagined I'd meet the love of my life in a video game about a podcast during a pandemic. But now that I know you, of course that's how we'd meet. I love you so, so much, and I'm so excited to nest with you in our polycule compound in the woods. My heart is so very full." That's just the purest thing. That's just the wonderful thing. And people say love can't bloom on a battlefield of blocks and creepers and skeletons, but obviously the opposite is, of course, true.
Hi, I'm Jesse Thorne, the founder of Maximum Fun, and I have a special announcement. I'm no longer embarrassed by my brother, my brother, and me. You know, for years, each new episode of this supposed advice show was a fresh insult, a depraved jumble of erection jokes, ghost humor, and frankly, this is for the best, very little actionable advice. But now, as they enter their twilight years, I'm as surprised as anyone to admit that it's gotten kind of good. Justin, Travis, and Griffin's witticisms are more refined, like a humor column in a fancy magazine. And they hardly ever say bazinga anymore. So, after you've completely finished listening to every single one of all of our other shows, why not join the McElroy Brothers every week for My Brother, My Brother, and Me?
Are you ready to binge watch something old?
The Greatest Generation is a podcast about Star Trek by a couple of hosts a little bit embarrassed to even have a Star Trek podcast. Hosted by me, Ben Harrison.
And me, Adam Pranica. We get into the critical, the technical, the science fictional aspects of the show we love, while roasting it and each other at the same time.
We've completed an entire series about Star Trek The Next Generation, and another one about Star Trek Deep Space Nine, and we've just begun Star Trek Voyager. So now is a great time to start watching a new Star Trek series with us.
So subscribe to The Greatest Generation on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts, and become a friend of DeSoto today.
Mine's going to be pretty quick. And you just started drinking my water like it was like... And this is... I want you to be hydrated. You're the love of my life. You just really go for it these days.
I used to ask. And you used to make fun of me for asking. So
no, I used
asking.
To make fun of the way that you would ask me. Okay. Sidebar. And I love this about you. I love your brain. I love the way it works. But you used to say...
Do you remember?
Yeah, you would say, is there water in your water bottle? Which then would make me think about the Toon Yard song. Okay. And I would sing that back to you like, no water in the water bottle. But then I would say yes. And then I would say that most people, when they would ask that question, would say, is your water bottle empty? Or simply, can I have some water?
Do you remember my reasoning, though?
You didn't want to ask me to drink water that wasn't there? I don't know.
Yeah, my thought was if your water bottle was empty,
yeah.
I didn't want to ask for water in a way that would make you have to get up and get it.
God. Our love for each other is too strong.
So I thought, I'll ask if there's water in it. And if he says no, I'll continue to sit here and be thirsty.
Yeah, what am I going to do if I say no? And you say, oh, okay. And then I won't go get water for my parched wife.
I didn't want to ask in a way, because I recognize like I could have my own water. If I were
you could
forward thinking, yeah. I would also have a water container.
Yeah.
But I was asking to have yours. And so I thought I want to make sure there's water in it before
yeah.
I ask
you go
to
through
have
the
it.
Effort to yeah.
This is also like the other day when I asked Griffin to get me grapes. And then decided I didn't need water also because...
Wow, this is a whole nother thing where I was like, do you want anything from the kitchen? And you were like, yeah, let me get some grapes. And I was like, okay, do you want some water too? Because I keep my head on a swivel and I notice uh-huh. when you don't have hydration. And I said, do you want me to go get you water too? And then Rachel said, no, I won't need the water. I'll have the grapes. As if the juiciness of the grapes... As if you could go, I'm thirsty. Crunch, 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 crunch. Now I'm not thirsty anymore because I made grape juice in my mouth.
All of this is true.
You're not wrong is the thing. I also love that about you.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about kids' graphic novels. I guess this is a broad. I don't want to be reductive, right? Like, young adult graphic novels too. It's a wide range of ages that they are making these things for these days. But Henry has been ravenously reading graphic novels
it's
for
so
young
perfect
kids.
If you think about it. It's not anything that would have occurred to me.
Yeah.
Because Henry is at an age now where he's kind of past the picture book. But he still
past it, yeah.
Yeah, but he still needs like an illustration. You can't just like straight up read a chapter book to him.
Yeah, man. I remember the first time I was like, let's read Flat Stanley. And we read it and it's like, where's the pictures, Flat Stanley?
Yeah.
Where are the pictures? A lot of words, Flat Stanley. Don't make me read. Flat Stanley is so flat. Show me a flat Stanley. You know what I mean? Anyway, there's like a renaissance of graphic novels for young people that is happening right now. And it is so rad in every way because I feel like it is, for so many reasons, a more accessible and exciting thing for new readers. And I have like, there's, I couldn't find any like formal studies about this, but like a lot of different sort of places like Scholastic and other sort of book publishers wrote sort of extolling the virtues of graphic novels and comic books for young people. Henry has been tearing these down. I think probably where we got started was Captain Underpants, where most people do sort of start. I was surprised the first time I read a Captain Underpants, where I was like, oh, this is a graphic novel. It is about a, you know, a underpants wearing bald man fighting a living toilet. And it's not the most erudite sort of concept coming at you, but it is, there's fun stuff in there, and there's also a billion of them. We also hopped off of that straight into Dog Man, mm-hmm. which is sort of the spiritual successor, also by Dav Pilkey, creator of Captain Underpants, which Henry is more into. Dog Man, I think they're much funnier than Captain Underpants, myself, mm-hmm. personally. And from there, like, we have branched out. Basically, you have been bringing home, like, graphic novels from the library, and pretty much every one of them has been a hit.
Yeah.
There's the Magic Treehouse series by Mary Pope Osborne. That's about two kids that find this treehouse in the woods filled with these magic books that when you read them, they like transport you to the worlds that they depict.
Yeah. So the books have been around forever, but they have just now started turning them into graphic novels.
Yes.
And I looked on Amazon and they're staggered. Like the next one comes out this summer.
Yeah.
Like they're very slowly translating them.
Yeah. And that's true of actually a lot of like classic literature too. So there's a lot of, I forget the name of it, but there was this recent adaptation of The Scarlet Letter, which is, you know, not Henry age appropriate, but a lot of graphic novel adaptations of heavier books that are much more accessible in this different format. We just started reading Super Sidekicks by Gavin Ong Thon, who and it's a more sort of straightforward like superhero series, but it is like really smart in the way that it still tells like a really good superhero story, just one that is about kids who are you know, the jilted sidekicks of crappy superheroes, and now they've started their own team, and it's like, I don't know, it's you know, obviously that's been done with Teen Titans, and the Runaways is like that, but the Runaways is more YA than Henry is sort of ready for.
Yeah, we're just really lucky in that our libraries have a really large graphic novel section, because at this age it's really hard to like buy a book knowing that your kid may not like it at all,
right?
And the library gives me this opportunity to kind of like hands-on look through it,
yeah,
and see like how long is it, like what kind of action is happening, like what do the illustrations look like?
Yeah.
You know, like, is this something he's going to be into?
Yeah. The answer has been almost unilaterally yes.
You know, it's making me think I should have been a librarian.
Yeah, maybe. I'm so glad you finally turned around on libraries, by the way. You've talked so much shit about libraries, but you're right. They are places where you can just try books out.
Yeah.
And they're good. The one that we have really fallen in love with is a series called Hilo by Judd Winick, who has done a bunch of stuff in the comics industry. He was also, when I revealed this to you, it was a shock. He was on The Real World, like an old season. I forget which one.
San Francisco.
One of the first seasons, and was like kind of a character on there.
He was a cartoonist, which was wild.
Yes.
Like, you think I would have like, I don't know. I guess there are a fair number of people named Judd.
That is, yes.
Wouldn't necessarily have automatically made the connection.
Sure. So Hilo is a book about a little blonde boy. So, like, of course, Henry's into it as one himself, who falls to Earth and has, like, all these powers and then has to, like, befriend these human beings and fend off this, like, robot invasion from his home world. And the amount of, like, world building that has taken place in these books, which we have read all seven of the books that are currently out in the last month, maybe, is so rich and so complex and like satisfying for like me to read, and also Henry, like now at bedtime, Henry only wants Hilo bedtime stories. He like wants to create his own Hilo fan fiction, which is fucking amazing. It tells a mature story sometimes about like grief and loss, and tackles all of these things while also threading the needle of being like funny for a 5-year-old to read and exciting for a 5-year-old to read. There's so many, right? The Bad Guys is a big one. Bone is one that we have had recommended to us a few times that has been around for a very, very long time. There's countless like graphic novels for, you know, young adults to young kids like Henry's age. That's so exciting because I feel like Henry would read virtually anything in this format. So there's like a lot of reasons why, like there's resources out there explaining why comics and graphic novels are great for kids this age and should be encouraged and not sort of shunned because they are funny books. A big thing is that they are just straight up easier to read, right? Like there is less reading involved by the very nature of what they are. And that alone, that they are easier to read, builds a builds self-confidence in the kids who are reading them, which is the most important thing for like encouraging more reading or, you know, happiness sort of in general.
Well, and they're also like, they're big books, like because of the number of illustrations and the amount of like real estate words get, like sometimes I'll be reading about a book trying to figure out whether or not to purchase it, and I'll see that it's like 150 pages, and I'm like, okay, that seems like too many pages for a young child. But then I realize, like, oh, most of that is illustration.
Because it's all dialogue, right? Like, there's no, there's not a bunch of floral descriptive prose, which is where, for you know, new readers, like, that's where you get in the weeds a little bit. It's all dialogue in short sentences that is way, way, way more digestible. And then if there's things that you don't understand in the words that either you are reading or is being read to you, you get the context of the illustration on the page, right? And that helps you feel even more confident in your reading and your comprehension of the book, which is awesome for a kid Henry's age who is like a new reader. But for kids who are like on the autism spectrum or kids who are dyslexic, like, it's huge. It's huge. It helps them sort of put together the words and the meaning and everything way easier than it would be in a more sort of, you know, straight up book format. And there's a lot of writing about like how amazing that is. But it just builds on this cycle, right, of kids reading these graphic novels and feeling confident in their ability to either read or understand the book that they're reading, which makes them want to read more, which builds more confidence. And I'm just focusing on the reading side of things. Like there is, you know, when graphic novels are sort of present in the school, like it builds art appreciation also for, you know, kids who enjoy sort of the illustration side of things more than just the writing and reading.
That was part of why the one I got recently was like Dot and Jot, I think. And it's about these kids who make their own graphic novel. And I just thought like, oh man, I hope Henry gets into that.
Like it is a boon to creativity in general. I'm reading off this Scholastic article. They offer a plethora of learning benefits: critical thinking, sequencing, imagination, storytelling, and creativity. Specifically, even graphic novels that are wordless. Like there are graphic novels that are sans writing entirely, that like pretty much most kids can pick up and understand the story that they are telling just through the illustrations, and in doing so like builds their creativity and capacity to like their hunger for more sort of advanced storytelling. And that's fucking amazing. I didn't have any of this grow up. Like I did not.
Well, I feel like when we were kids it was just like Mouse.
It was Mouse, yes, which is like, you know, there's been recent controversy about some school, I think in like Jacksonville or something. I'm not going to credit that to Jacksonville. Maybe they're not the ones who did it, but that banned Mouse, which is a graphic novel about sort of interviews that the author did with his grandfather, I want to say, who was a Holocaust survivor.
Yeah.
And it was banned from schools and then became like an Amazon number one bestseller. But yes, there's much more of it happening right now. Yeah. Like there are much more people writing it. There are way more publishers publishing these kinds of books. They are becoming more successful, right? The Bad Guys is a book about I don't know if it's explicitly the Big Bad Wolf, but basically,
yeah.
Who teams up with like a piranha and a venomous spider and a big snake.
There's like a shark in there.
There's a big shark in there, and they're like evil guys, but they want to be good guys. And those books are very charming, and they've done very well, and they're making an animated movie out of it. Obviously, the Captain Underpants-averse has been very successful.
Yeah.
I just think it's amazing. I think it's amazing. I was not the biggest reader growing up outside of, you know, Animorphs and Harry Potter and Goosebumps and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was always begrudging for me. I would have wrecked these books. Yeah. I would have read them until the bindings collapse.
Yeah.
And it's so it feels like a whole new ball game now. Like yeah. I do not it has activated something in Henry that is so amazing to see as his dad. Like
yeah.
it is so cool to see him, like story time before bed. We always tell a story together before bed. We're like, I ask him what he wants to do a story about. And then we kind of just go back and forth doing like his capacity to like think up new scenarios and ways that those resolve is way richer than it ever was before we started reading these books. And I think that's incredible.
He has kind of an inherent understanding of like how a story is developed. Like he knows like there has to be conflict, you know, like there has to be like a good guy and the good guy has to be coming up against some obstacle. And like he just kind of like absorbed it.
Yeah.
You know, which has been really helpful.
As long as that story doesn't involve somebody disobeying their parents and getting caught or being embarrassed in any way, which made our attempted viewing of Turning Red somewhat unsuccessful because there's a lot of that in that film. Delightful. What we've seen so far, Rachel and I are probably going to have to polish off the back half of that film ourselves because
I mean, it was the same thing with Coco, right? Like it was just like, oh no, he's fighting with his grandma.
And when we say that out loud, it makes it sound like we're terrible parents.
He's so afraid
of disobeying us, but it's not that as much as that he's just a very sweet boy who is very anxious about breaking the law. But
you
know, I'm sure that most parents of kids, you know, around Henry's age are tuned into this. But if not, like, check out some of the books I've recommended. Hilo especially. Like, I am in love with this series.
Yeah. I feel like we really kind of found our way to it on our own.
Yeah.
Just because I have always, like, it's very rare that like 2 weeks will go by where I don't get Henry new books just because I'm like so excited.
Yeah.
And just very recently, really with like Captain Underpants, I realized like, oh, I can't really get him books that aren't novels anymore. Like he's in that mindset now.
Yeah, if we get him more sort of traditional, I mean, he'll fuck around with like a Seussian sort of fun book like that, but he needs a story, a story to be in there.
Yeah, so that's why the library has really become like a regular thing. I'm putting stuff on hold again.
Yeah.
I'm in it.
I want to make clear I'm not self-promoting because I would never consider the Adventure Zone graphic novel series kid appropriate.
No. Actually, you should look. I was exploring whether or not they were an appropriate donation for Austin Batcave. And the executive director sent me the Common Sense Media posting.
Oh, I've never read it.
Oh, you want me
Shit. Here. Yeah.
I can pull it up. But I was saying, like, I think it would be appropriate for, you know, maybe 13 or 14-year-olds. And he said, okay. So he's like, actually, I included a snippet from the Common Sense Media, which is honestly pretty funny. And then it says, parents need to know that Adventure Zone, Here There Be Gerblins is a fantasy graphic novel based on a popular podcast, blah, blah, blah. Swearing is frequent with at least a dozen uses of fart and shit and less frequent uses of hell, damn, bastard, and goddamn.
Wait, does it say fart or fuck?
No, it says F-T, which I'm assuming is fart. I think it only you only use the big one in the Abraca.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's
in
fair.
In the Abraca sense.
It has to bleep out fart? Common. That doesn't seem like common sense to me.
Violence is mostly directed toward trained wolves, giant spiders, and the gerblins, small, annoying, orc-like guys who bleed green blood until the climactic magical firefight. One character drinks brandy and cocktails.
I don't even remember that happening. Okay. Yeah, that's not as bad as I thought it would be. Anyway, yeah.
That's just the first one.
Yeah, they get far raunchier.
Yes.
Thank you all for listening. Thank you to Bowen and Augustus for the use of our theme song, Money Won't Pay. You can find a link to that in the episode description. Thank you to Maximum Fun for having us on the network. It's a great network, great team. Proud to be a part of it. We have stuff over at MacRoyMerch.com that it would be cool if you checked out. And we're bringing Mabim Bam and Taz on tour throughout the rest of the year. We're also doing a show. We're doing a show in St. Louis. It's like our first stop, I want to say, in mid-April.
Yeah, and I think it's on 420.
It's on 420, which is very funny. And I think we're going to try and do wonderful.
And Minneapolis is the next stop, right? Or
yes.
Is it, there's something in between St. Louis and Minneapolis.
We're terrible at this. If you go to macroy.family, you can find all the info about the tour. I think we're going to try and do wonderful in St. Louis, though.
Yeah, that's the plan. I gotta like flex in front of my old stomping grounds,
yeah,
you know?
Of course. That's it. Let's stop. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here for us, with us, on us, to us.
No.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.